No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. We are your crew. You are our passengers for another virtual cruise through the latest aviation news and information and my journey on becoming a private pilot. And if you listened last week, you got a free ride through the Caribbean with me and Captain Clay. Now, you guys had to stay back at the home base of operations in Orlando, Florida. And Ed, are you envious?
Because we have to work for a living.
Well, yeah, no, that was work. I was out in the field representing Just Plain Radio as I should. Right, Keith? Back me up here.
I'm not sure that what you do is work.
Okay, well, I said representing Just Plain Radio.
Well, that part, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, work is maybe a subjective term.
Yes.
But
yes,
completing my duties as
a
representative.
Did you break a
sweat? Heck no. That would be, if I broke a sweat, that would mean that I was panicking in my role as co-pilot for, for Clay as we cruise through the Caribbean.
Oh, okay.
And that wouldn't be appropriate. If you're planning your flight
correctly. You mean
he
didn't have you load the bags?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh,
okay, so you were a co-pilot then.
Yeah, I did break a sweat a couple times now that you mention it. I helped him load up the Saratoga, and we loaded that puppy up and took some things down to the boats. He runs these liveaboard boats that we flew down to from Orlando through Fort Lauderdale to Turks and Caicos, San Juan, gassed up there, and then ended up in St. Kitts.
Cool.
Yeah. So it was a four-leg trip. Very uneventful as far as, you know, any issues are concerned. And longest leg was just under 4 hours. You can hear all this from last week's show. And actually, we recorded one of the segments at 11,000 feet with our Zulu 2 headsets.
Cool.
And the recorder hooked up right into them. It was pretty neat. Yeah. We're going to have to do that more often, actually.
Well, I've been saying that all along.
Why haven't we done it?
Because you couldn't figure out the technology side of it?
Well, I had to fly the plane. You know, if you were flying, I could focus on doing that kind of stuff, which is what I did. He flew the plane. He was working on...
Hard to learn with me flying the airplane for you, because I can't take the test for you.
Well, that's true, but I'm just saying, you know, if we want to go up there with a specific purpose of recording a segment to bring everyone up there into the skies with us for a segment, you would have to take the control so I could focus on that. That would be the responsible way to fly the plane. And that's why I haven't done it yet with you guys.
It's getting a little deep in here, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, that's just what we do. All right. So, do. Anyway, it was a great adventure. Yeah. And I don't know. I learned a lot. And I know Clay did, too, because, you know, he's had his new Piper Saratoga for a couple months now. He has about 100 hours thereabouts, I think, already. And he was really focused on working the avionics and the autopilot, mm-hmm. which surprised me a bit because there was very little manual flying going on at all.
Yeah.
Which is typical for an IFR flight like that or what?
Well, not always, but you know, if the technology is new to him, he's and the weather was good, right?
Yeah,
you know,
well, it was
perfect. Probably taking the time, just like we say all along, is when we talk about technology. You know, technology is great if you know how to use it, and mm-hmm. to know how to use it, you have to use it regularly, train with it regularly, so that one day where you really need it, and it's going to make it's going to impact the flight operation. It's going to do it in a safe manner instead of being a hazard.
Yeah.
And so that's what he's doing. He just had the opportunity.
Then he can use it as a tool instead of as a crutch.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, because sometimes it kind of looks like, well, you're just letting the autopilot do all the work for you, and you're just punching in coordinates. It's making the turns and the whole thing, which goes back to some conversations we've had in the past where I've seen some of this take place, and I think, well, the autopilot seems to be doing such a good job, Keith. Why don't I just let it land and take off for me? Why do I get to bother with anything?
Well, because we don't have that technology in these airplanes.
Hmm.
You know, a lot of the airliners don't even have that technology. But, you know, one of the things that I think needs to be brought out at this particular point is, you know, at our flight school, we have autopilots on our airplanes, and we do teach people how to use the autopilot, because if it's there working, you will be tested.
Right.
I think some flight schools do a disservice to people if they don't teach the autopilot. They just disconnect the autopilot and want them to manually fly all the time, because it is a great tool when somebody gets really, really busy, especially in a hard IFR, meaning really heavy weather. They need to be able to have a tool that they can go to. And what Clay is doing is excellent practice. You know, nice, clear day, use the autopilot, find out exactly how everything works. You've heard Ed and I talk about that on many occasions.
Right.
Make sure you know how the technology works.
What you're saying, though, which kind of surprises me, you're telling me that in IFR conditions, when the weather goes south on you, that you might be in a better situation to put it on the autopilot and let the autopilot run the plane as opposed to manually?
Yes.
You would be.
You know, the big issue for the pilot is you need to remain situationally aware.
Right.
And think about this. You sat there and you watched him the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You probably saw so many more things than if you were actually flying the airplane.
But oh, absolutely.
As soon as you put your hands on the controls, you get this tunnel vision. And you'll miss things. Whereas as soon as you stop flying it and say, like I took over and flew when I was demonstrating something, you saw everything. Then your hands go back on the control and then you're missing things again.
Mm-hmm.
And so that allows the pilot to be back, sit back and be more observant. Now, what they can't do is sit back and be complacent and relegate control of the airplane to the autopilot. They need to stay involved with what's going on and remain situationally aware.
Yeah, and I will give props to Clay for doing that, because he was paying attention, basically setting the autopilot, changing the coordinates here and there when they would tell him to do so, and monitoring the autopilot to make sure it was doing what he expected it to do, which is what you would do, as opposed to you know clip on or click on the Sirius XM and take a snooze or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we don't work for FedEx.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah, really. That wasn't very nice. But anyway, you're saying that the autopilot, if you got into kind of dicey conditions, would possibly be able to fly the plane better than a person manually. I mean, that's what I'm asking. Like, if you got into those kind of conditions, you would be better off putting it on autopilot and letting it keep the plane level as opposed to you trying to maintain that manual. Now, for me, that's a no-brainer, absolutely. But I'm saying for someone who's an accomplished pilot, has their certificate, has flown many times, the autopilot could still do a better job.
Yes.
Both of you say that. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. So is that the proper mode of operandi in that regard then, too?
Well, it really depends on the situation.
And the autopilot, I guess.
And the autopilot. You know, if you're in weather conditions where you're expecting icing, it's not the right thing to do. But if you're in conditions where icing's not prevalent, okay, it may be the best option for you.
Now, why would that matter? The autopilot can't tell if it's icing up on the plane a little bit?
The autopilot will mask what's happening with the ice, and the autopilot will continue to fly it until it gets to the limits of its ability, and then it just snaps off. It just disconnects.
Aha.
And then you've got an airplane that you don't really know what's going on with it, because you're not really sure why the autopilot kicked off.
Got it.
Unless you're really, really paying attention and noticing airspeed decreasing and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, in an icing scenario, you want to get the autopilot off because you want to feel how heavy the airplane's getting and noticing the fact that the airspeed's decreasing. You need to increase back pressure to maintain altitude. You need to increase power, all those kinds of things. You want to have a real good hands-on feel for it.
Got it. Okay, well, that makes sense. You know, once again, this is a little beyond my scope because I'm still training to be a VFR pilot. But after watching what he did, there's no question in my mind that once I do get my VFR certificate, and it will happen someday, it's right into IFR. You have to. Yeah, I mean, I don't see why you'd want to ever stop there.
Yeah.
Because
I think it's the other half of the equation.
Yeah. I mean, you have to do that, especially for what I want to do, which is fly down to places in the Caribbean like we did. You know, I guess you can't even really – well, you can fly VFR. We ran into several pilots, not literally, but – heard them on the radio.
Yes, you're here, so obviously not.
Yes. But we saw some people doing some stop and goes in San Juan. I could hear them on the radio talking about it and that kind of thing. And watching one of the student pilots in San Juan going, oh, he's ballooning up. Eh, what a loser. That was me. So, you know, it's universal in that flight training as far as that's concerned. That was kind of nice to see other people screw up as opposed to me for once. Right?
Yeah.
That's part of the advantage of, you know, evolving as a student, isn't it, Ed?
Yeah.
That I get a banana for that, don't I, Keith?
You do, but it just goes to show that you don't ever stop learning.
True. Always keep flying. You know what? I have to get a plane. We talked about that, and we'll talk about it next right here on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Deep Water Cay in the Bahamas has been a hotspot for world-class anglers and Hollywood stars for over 50 years. They fly into Freeport or take advantage of the 4,000-foot private runway. So in as little as 20 minutes from Florida, you too could be experiencing world-class fishing, diving, paddleboarding, whatever your adventurous heart desires, Deep Water Cay delivers. So treat yourself like the star that you are at Deep Water Cay's private island resort in the Bahamas. Go to deepwaterkay.com. That's deepwaterkay.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Any of you boys seen an aircraft carrier around here?
Admit that Clay had Sirius XM in his Piper Saratoga SB when we're flying down through the Caribbean, and we did listen to the tunes. And they need to get a flying channel, an aviation channel, where we can play all these songs that have some kind of reference to flying, and do that or create a playlist on our iPads and iPods and that kind of thing when we're up at 11,000 feet cruising through the Caribbean. I mean, it just doesn't get any better. The scenery was fantastic. We had the music going.
Okay, I just have this business idea here.
What's that? What?
It's called Just Plane Radio.
What? Who? What? That's crazy talk. What, are you kidding me?
Have our own radio station that plays aviation music. And then the show repeats, you know, a couple, three times a day.
What, are you nuts? That's insane. He's crazy, Keith.
You're just figuring that out?
Yeah, well, good point.
Yeah, you flew with me.
Yeah. Well, we did broadcast from 11,000 feet last week.
Why do you
week.
Think that I asked him to be my business partner? I knew he was crazy years ago.
Yes.
In order to work with me, you got to be crazy.
Come fly with us. It's Crazy Ed. Anyway, we'll leave their marketing plan out of it. for flight training professionals. Despite them, they're actually a good team, and they'll teach you well, trust me. But, you know, the thing is that it was a great experience. Mm-hmm. And if you've never done this, once again, go back and listen to the show. If you didn't catch last week's show, it's up as a podcast now. And if you've ever considered flying down through the Caribbean on your own, I will tell you, I was surprised not only how well it went, but it really wasn't very difficult. I thought it would be a little bit more challenging at times, especially getting through customs and dealing with, you know, the different countries we had to get into. But I got to tell you,
you didn't experience coming back in the small plane into the United States.
Well, that's true. well, neither did Clay, because he's not back yet.
Yeah, well. But I'm just saying, down there, you know, it's island time, man.
True. That's right. Well, yeah, they're like, you know, I remember we pulled into St. Kitts, the last leg, right? Yeah. And we go up to the customs folks. Hey, we're here. Do we tie down? Or, well, I don't know. Just leave it over there. Whatever, man. We don't care. It's all good. We'll see you tomorrow when you leave. You know, it was like, okay. You know, so it really changes island to island. But, yeah, they're definitely on island time as far as how things are processed certain ways. It's not as difficult or challenging as you might think. The biggest problem, or the only potential hiccup we had in the entire flight, was when we were in San Juan, when we were in Providenciales, the airport there in the Turks and Caicos, mm-hmm. and we were flying to San Juan, and we're going to gas up in San Juan. You have to call to enter back into San Juan because it's U.S. territory.
Yeah.
So we have to go through customs again. And so I did kind of experience that a little bit. And the kicker is that we were scheduled to leave at 8 a.m. So you have to give them like an hour's notice or something to go back into U.S. airspace, right? Yep. Keith knows this. I remember we had to do this when we flew from Bimini. Well, we started making the calls about an hour before our flight, and quickly realized that their office wasn't open. It ends up the customs office in San Juan wasn't going to open until 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
on a Saturday. So it was like, how are you supposed to give them notice?
Yep.
So luckily, the people at the FBO there and the Turks and Caicos, after we took off, they called for us and said, hey, these guys are on their way. And was able to give him a heads up. Now, we also had a sat phone in the plane to call him as well, but the folks at the FBO took care of it for us. Now, why is that, though? That's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? How are you supposed to give him an hour notice?
Are we talking about our government?
Well, I guess we are.
Did I beat you to that one, Keith?
This sounds like
you did, and thank you.
Yeah, this does sound like a something that Keith would like to address, just knowing his background and his love for governmental affairs and the bureaucracy we have here in the USA. Keith?
Yeah, no, we're not going to go there today. We're just
what?
You know, you're just trying to stir the pot.
Yep.
Hey, it's radio gold, I tell you. You know, the soapbox is sitting right there for you, my friend. Step on up.
So let me go back to a different soapbox. You mentioned that in St. Kitts, you know, they'd say, I just park the airplane, leave it there, whatever.
Yeah.
That's fine, and it usually works pretty well in the islands because the winds aren't too difficult in the islands at any time unless there's a hurricane coming.
Right.
And well, so of course, if you're going there, you really got to make sure that you're checking weather because, you know, a tropical storm or a hurricane, especially this time of year, can pop up at any time. And then, you know, you got issues.
Well, it was interesting. He said, when they had us taxi over to a little parking spot, there was another plane there, and there was a big 787 jet that was running and getting ready to take off. And so where they had us taxi over and park, it was, I don't know, maybe 100 yards away from this jet, right? And so Clay was definitely kind of scratching his head going, I don't know if this is a good spot to be right now. You know, if this jet turns a certain way, his exhaust is going to blow right over us, and that could be bad. And so he was a little concerned about that, as one could understand. And then when the customs guy said, no, you're fine there, man. Don't worry about it. We went back out to the plane to get our bags, and sure enough, this jet starts, firing up and turns, and I can see, like, the hair on the back of Clay's neck start to dance a little bit, going, uh-oh, here we go. And this thing came around, and sure enough, we felt it, but it didn't blow as hard as you would have thought, being as close as we were. And so it was fine. And there was a little bit of a shelter on the other end of the runway. So he was kind of in a fairly protected area as mm-hmm. much as you could be. But I was surprised. They didn't have really any place where you could tie down. I mean, it was just a runway and
Strip. When we send people over with the 182, we send a tie down kit with them.
Yeah.
So at least they can get pushed off in the grass somewhere and anchored in.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't even see a place where you could be pushed off in the grass. This is St. Kitts, so it's kind of mountainous and volcanic. So other
same
than
same thing when we went to Bimini.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, when we went to Bimini, right.
Bimini, is there's no tie downs there either.
Right. Yeah. So you have
And there's a lot of places in the islands that there's no place to tie down.
So you just have to kind of know the weather, make sure you're not flying into a bad situation, and understand that there may not be that much protection for you in that regard. Or, I don't know, do they make something that you can tie down to cement like that? Or there's other than chalks, there's nothing else you can do, is there?
No, you do want to take chalks with you, though, to make sure that you've got that. If there's no tie downs, you at least want to chalk it minimally.
Right.
Preferably all three wheels.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, we did have that. We had chalk, so we got it chalked up. And so it was safe. It was uneventful, very easy, something that I'd encourage anyone listening, if they've even thought about the opportunity to cruise down through the Caribbean, man, you need to do this. This is the way to travel, my friends. Definitely. And I'm talking directly to you, Ed. Get your passport, damn it!
And if anybody wants to come down and do it, and they're nervous about going through customs and everything, we'll be happy to fly down there with you and walk you through the customs and everything and show you how to do it.
Well, I don't know about that. But I'll fly down with them. I don't do paperwork.
We're talking about us, not you.
Like this.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
All right, so while Clay was operating his Piper Saratoga and working that autopilot to the nines, we had a lot of time to talk. Our longest leg was just under, 4 hours. So there was quite a bit of time to just chat, talk airplanes, where I'm at in my flight training, that kind of thing. I've been learning in this 172 Cessna. We were flying a Piper Saratoga. He had just sold his Piper 235.
Yeah, Pathfinder
Cherokee. 235. Oh, it's a Pathfinder?
Well, that was one of the names of it, but Cherokee 235 would have been within the proper term.
Okay. Well, so he said he suggested that's what I need to get. Is a Piper 235, a Cherokee. He said they're cheaper. There's a lot of them out there, and I might be able to get a real
good. Why didn't you buy
his? Well, he already sold his. So, but the company that he bought his new plane from evidently goes out there, finds planes, recertifies them, guts them, paints them, does the whole thing, gets them certified, and checks them all out and all that kind of stuff. And I guess he's bought a couple planes from these folks, and mm-hmm. they that's what they do. And he said they get these planes all the time, or you tell them what kind of plane you want, they'll go and do all the legwork and find one for you, fix it up, and sell it to you at a reasonable price. And I'm like, hey, this sounds good. And he goes, hey, this actually is way more economical than you may think if you're using it for business. And we've talked about this a little bit before, Ed.
Yeah.
And I know you guys have the flight school, and you have people that buy planes, and then you put them into your training fleet, and kind of a lease back kind of thing. So there's that option, I guess, if you wanted to go to your local flight school and talk to them about that, right?
Yep.
But then you got to share that plane with other folks.
Yep.
And that's the one thing Clay goes, that's the downside. You buy a plane, and then, you want to fly it. And he said, I did that at one time. And next thing you know, I would want to fly someplace, and then the plane was already booked. And he started having all the scheduling stuff and says, that's a pain. You don't want that. If you're going to buy a plane, buy your plane, then you can have it when you want it.
That's the best of both worlds.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that and more next. Stay close.
Hey!
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
That's the spirit. Keep them flying.
1, 2, 3, like a bird I sing, 'cause you've given me the most beautiful set of wings. And I'm so glad you're here today, 'cause tomorrow I might have to go and fly away.
Hey! This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. FTPros.com is the website to go to and learn how to fly with them if you'd like. Now, we're talking about buying a plane, because after my flight down through the Caribbean.
We?
Yeah.
We?
You? Well, we're kind of a community here at Just Plane Radio.
Oh, okay.
And according to Clay,
the subject is talking about buying a plane.
Well, you know, just like
subject is Greg buying a plane.
You know, part of my duties as a radio show host for Just Plane Radio is to travel down through the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And as, according to Clay, those duties should include purchasing a plane so I can fly down through the Caribbean myself, as opposed to just with him.
Well, and that's, you know, why'd you start the show? To get, you know, to learn to fly, to get to dive locations.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It's a natural extension of where you want to go.
Yeah. And for him, it works really well, because he has this liveaboard business. And I mean, the pluses and the minuses of owning boats make
kinda
it
like
a necessity to have an airplane at times, because sometimes things go wrong on these boats and you got to get parts to them quickly. And matter of fact, that's why I went down there with him, was we had to run down there and take some stuff down to his vessels in the Caribbean. Now, you might as well enjoy the ride. So he's got a nice plane. We had an excellent trip. And he said, look, with all the stuff you do with your scuba radio show, diving here, diving there, this does make a lot of sense from a business standpoint, from a standpoint, it actually could work to your benefit much better than you think. And you say?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you can write off, if you can use it and justify the use within the business, or own it in one corporation, lease it to the other corporation, and it is majority use for business, there's some significant tax deductions you can take.
Yeah, well, I can't imagine using it for anything other than business, because I know for a fact that my wife and family will not ever fly with me. So there won't be any personal stuff going on at all. It'll definitely be for business reasons that I have to go here and broadcast Just Plane Radio from this exotic location in the Caribbean.
Exactly.
Yeah. Keith, that sounds like a viable argument to the IRS.
I've been trying to talk you into that ever since we started.
Well, this is true. So what are we waiting on?
Why are you listening to Clay and all of a sudden and disregarding me?
Well, I'm not disregarding you. Clay kind of pushed me into a particular model. He said this Piper or this Cherokee 235.
Well, actually, Piper. The email he sent you had the Cherokee 6300.
Oh, okay. That's what it was.
Which is it's basically the same cabin as the airplane you flew with him,
right?
But it's fixed gear.
Yes.
And those are actually the Piper Cherokee series. Mm-hmm. The Cherokee 6 was kind of the load hauler of it, you know. So if you're thinking about taking a couple people with you, some gear to go diving, it would be a good airplane for that. It's comparable to the Cessna 206,
right?
Which is always what we said on the Cessna line, which would be the more apropos airplane other than the Caravan,
right?
Yeah, you want the Caravan on floats, but
there was an engineer, Clay's friend named Keith, by the way. Also, he's an engineer on the boat. He's he has a Cessna 206, and that's what he said. He said they're very comparable, but the Cessna 206, the market's really tight on those because people are buying these things up as soon as they become available.
Yep.
They're a hot commodity in the used airplane market.
Yep.
And the Piper is a little less in demand, so therefore the price, you can get a lot of bang for your buck.
Yep.
There's more out there. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Any flying characteristic difference from your perspective?
Well, the thing you got to watch out about those airplanes, there are some weight and balance issues.
Yeah.
You can load them wrong to where as you're flying, the center of gravity can move aft and cause controllability issues on landing.
Okay.
So you've got.
They might be a little less forgiving in that category than a 206.
They could be out of the limit in all reality, and you not be able to. In that instance, you would over-rotate on landing, strike tail first, and cause damage.
Explains then why Clay was very adamant about tying down all the stuff that we had needed to take over to Provo, over to Providenciales and the Turks and Caicos. Because, he had a bunch of boxes and things. He's like, hey, we need to fasten these down so they don't move around in the plane.
If you think about it, when you, Keith, and Steve flew the Bonanza down to Fort Lauderdale that one time, Keith made sure you were in the middle seat for takeoff and landing. He said you could get in the aft seat, in flight, but he wanted you in that middle seat for takeoff and landing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was weight and balance issue. And that's the thing you run into with a six-place airplane is you just have to be cautious about where you put stuff so that it's within the limits and be sure that you calculate and you figure it and make it work that way every time.
Then
you will never have a problem.
Okay. All right. So you're good with this idea?
I'm fine. As long
Keith is good with this idea?
Absolutely. I think it's a good idea.
All right. So we're going to use your credit card or my credit card?
Yours.
No.
Yours.
Get out. Mine don't have that kind of limit. Come on.
You've already burned up mine, so it's got to be yours this time.
No. I've got an option for him here, Keith.
Oh, okay. Listen, okay. I'm listening.
I believe we know people that can finance airplanes, and I'm sure they'd be interested in talking to Greg, don't you think?
I absolutely think so.
I was just talking to Tom yesterday about airplane deals.
Okay, so what kind of deal? Let's look at a plane. That plane that Clay sent me that I forwarded you.
$169,000.
Okay, $169,000. Let's look at that. Let's break it down.
Well, so you'd have 20% down.
20% down, so that's about $25,000-$30,000 at least.
Yep.
So, all right. So I can borrow that from Keith. Okay, no problem. So then what?
What did I tell you, Ed?
Yeah, we know. We know where this is going. But no, because it's for personal use, okay, well, personal business use, let's say, it's not being put on a rental line, you can finance it on a 20-year loan.
Okay, all right.
It's
like a home loan kind of deal.
Yeah, and they're running somewhere in the, what are the rates going for now? Probably in the 5-6% range.
Yeah.
Simple amortization chart could tell you where you're at monthly payments on that.
So, but you could do.
And we've got another company, Advocate Tax, that would run your individual financials.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes for everybody, by the way.
Yeah, I hope so.
Advocate Tax.
Everybody listening will have way better credit than me. So this should apply to everyone listening.
It's not necessarily a dealer credit, but everybody's finances is different no matter what you do. And so what Advocate Tax does is they run your personal finances and tell you exactly how you should
structure the company.
Structure your program, whether you should do a separate company, whether it should be an LLC, a corporation, and just exactly how you should do it where you're going to get the best tax benefits out of it. You know, it's a fantastic program, and the people are just fantastic to work with.
Yeah.
And everybody that we have sent there have told us that they have saved themselves thousands of dollars by doing that.
So did they save themselves like $30,000, like the down payment?
Depends on the size of the airplane.
Depends on the size of the airplane, and it depends on their taxable income.
Ah, income.
See, you have to,
That's an issue, isn't it? Damn.
Having a deduction when you have nothing to balance it against, but when you look at it in an after tax scenario, that's what they would do for you. They would run an analysis and say, okay, this is buying this airplane. This is what you'd have to put into it. This is what you'd be able to claim off your taxes in the first year, second year, third year, and here's your cash flow. And depending on how you structure it. Can be very attractive.
Yeah, I mean, how do you finance, though, or can you finance in the package the maintenance and the fuel and stuff? You can't do that.
That's your direct operating costs.
Okay, so you have to figure out a way to cover operating costs and obviously down payment. Mm-hmm. All right, and like I said, we got Keith for the down payment. Operating costs, you can chip in for that.
Just like every other person learning to fly has to pay to rent the airplane.
Right.
You're paying yourself.
Right.
You're going to have to charge the company, and based on the revenue of the company, you have to charge the company a rate to use the airplane.
Mm-hmm. So I need to pay myself. And if I know myself well, I'll pay myself very, very well.
Well, then you should be able to buy the airplane without my help.
Well, there you go.
It's right.
Wait a minute. Wait, that didn't sound right. It doesn't sound like these numbers are adding up the way they're supposed to, at least not in my mind.
Not in your mind, but for the rest of us, they sound just about right.
Okay. Exactly. Well, the bottom line is it's doable, and it's just a matter of maybe setting up one of these consultations and getting the flight plan in place. We'll see. We'll work on it. A lot of other things to cover on my flight through the Caribbean as far as little products we got to play with. We'll talk about that next. Stay close to Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You gonna ride shotgun with me, help me fly?
That's the plan. Spread your wings and fly away. Fly away. Far away. Pull yourself together, so you know you should do better. That's because you're.
So when I'm flying down through the Caribbean with Captain Clay last week, you know, we got to use a lot of cool devices and things that we brought along for the ride to just be a little extra safe. I had this thing called a Nautilus Lifeline that we use in the dive industry that uses GPS technology that you could use if the plane were to go down into the sea and that kind of thing. And it's waterproof, VHF radio, but has GPS coordinates, like an EPIRB for a boat kind of thing. But we also had a satellite phone. The folks from Spot, who were there at the AirVenture show, you know, they make these little Spot transponder things. And you've seen those.
I've seen
before.
Them. I got customers that have them in there.
Yeah. I had gotten a sat phone from them a few months ago, and I got it activated right before our trip. and brought that along and put it on in our ditch bag as well. We had, you know, an inflatable raft, and we had you know, life vests, and we had the spot thing, we had the Nautilus lifeline, and we had the sat phone. Now, obviously, having a sat phone's kind of a luxurious item to have on a trip like this. Very handy. They can be quite expensive on the airtime, but actually airtime's come down quite a bit, and they're much more economical now. Or you could use one of those spot devices, which we're going to talk about a little bit more on a future episode of the show. But this was nice to have a sat phone on this flight, because not only, you know, first of all, we didn't need it for an emergency.
Yeah.
But I did have airtime on it. And, you know, into the third leg of our flight between Turks and Caicos and San Juan, I turned to Clay and I said, hey, you know, I got that sat phone. Can you use it in the airplane? He goes, it's my airplane. I don't know why not.
Not in U.S. airspace.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You're in the Caribbean. You're, you know, why not? Would it work? And he goes, I guess it would. I don't know. So sure enough, I turn it on and ding, ding, ding. All of a sudden I get signal. And we patch it up in through the Lightspeed Zulu 2 headsets.
Mm-hmm.
And it patched right in with the little audio cable that comes in with the headsets. And next thing you know, I'm like, this is better than drunk dialing all your friends on a Saturday night. You hear what I'm saying, Keith? This was amazing.
I hear you.
Yeah. And so I'm calling everybody at 11,000 feet. Say, hey, dude, guess where I'm at, man? You won't believe this. and so we just had a ball. And I was surprised how well.
Did he call you, Ed?
No, he didn't call me. Did he call you?
No.
Yeah, I see where we rate.
Well, you know what happened? I didn't have you guys' phone number. I didn't have it.
So he didn't call everybody.
Well, I didn't call everyone. I didn't have everyone's phone number. There was just a few friends that I knew kind of by, you know, memory. I didn't know you guys' phone numbers by heart. Sorry. You're not in that clique.
I'm going to unfriend
you're not
him
that
on
good
Facebook.
Of a friend.
That's it.
No, anyway, so, but I did. I called up a bunch of people. But thing is, just so you know, most of them didn't pick up because the sat phone didn't come up as with caller ID.
Yeah.
And so, you know, everybody, they wouldn't pick up, and so it went straight to voicemail. So I left a bunch of, like, you know, drunk voicemails.
See, I might actually pick up.
Nah, you wouldn't pick up.
Because if I saw it was your name on it, I wouldn't pick up.
Well,
so
true.
The fact that it was a different number, I might actually talk to
you. Nah, you wouldn't. You put me in the same category as a out-of-area number and wouldn't pick up either, is my guess. That's why I didn't call you.
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't a phone. I knew he wouldn't pick up, so I was like, I'll just tell him about this story. But anyway, no, it was fun. But, you know, going back to the seriousness of it, it made me realize that, wow, what an invaluable tool having a satellite phone in your airplane can be. First of all, I didn't think it would work, which was shocking that it worked. And honestly, the folks at Globalstar that make these things and run the sat service that we were using, I don't even know if they, you know, promote the fact that you can use their sat phones in their airplanes, mm-hmm. like the portable ones like we had.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it might be hit or miss whether it works in your particular plane, depending on how it's built and, you know, the fuselage and that kind of thing. But it worked amazingly well. I was shocked. Have you had other folks do that? Or, I mean, because I thought, first of all, when I asked Clay if we could do this, I didn't even know if it was legal. Because I thought, well,
why would it not be legal?
Well, you're not allowed to use cell phones, or you're not supposed to use cell phones in the air. And now they're starting to loosen up that restriction here eventually with the FAA. But once again, we were in international airspace. So, and from that standpoint, I knew it really wasn't technically an issue. But then I kind of wondered. I actually did do a search on Google, and according to what I've read so far, there is no restriction against using a sat phone in an airplane.
Hmm.
Right.
At least not in a general aviation airplane. And I guess the only stipulation is it's up to the pilot in command to know whether or not those electronics that they have in their plane could be potentially influenced or, you know, interfered with any electrical devices. And if they deem that not to be the case, then, hey, it's their decision.
I mean, that's
they
how we get to use the iPad in the general aviation airplane. The pilot has to determine that it doesn't interfere with any devices in the airplane, and then we can use it.
Well, just another reason why you should go with general aviation, period, because you can use your iPads, you can drunk dial people with a sat phone. I mean, this is travel,
okay,
my friends.
Drunk dial.
Well, okay, you know what I'm saying.
Were you experiencing hypoxia?
Well, a little bit of that, yeah, probably so. I can guarantee you the people who listen back to some of those voicemails would definitely think that was the case. Pleasant company excluded.
It's because we wouldn't think we would know.
Exactly.
Yeah, they'd just be going, drunk. Yeah. You think we need to put those in the planes now? I think we should. If you're flying throughout
If I was flying over the Caribbean, would I like one? Yeah, absolutely. What we do here, we're in the middle of Florida, up and down Florida, the southeastern seaboard. Not really. Don't need it.
Everglades, loose self.
I'd much rather have an EPIRB.
Yep.
Well, you get both. That's what I'm saying. It's all about redundancy. See, you two could learn something from me for once.
I don't think so.
And on that note, we'll leave it. Till next week, remember, there's no better high
than learning
to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.